Who caused greater damage to Vaishnava culture? Was it the Muslims or was it the Britishers? Actually speaking, it was the Hindus. See, if we see from a historical point of view also, the Muslims and the Britishers were invaders. No, they were never much in number. It was the Hindus who were divided, they were power hungry. So, from the point of view of Kali Yuga, from the point when Sringi cursed Parikshit Maharaj, that began the decline of the power of the Brahmanas. And the Brahmanas, as they started abusing their power, that was one graphic expression of abuse of their power. But subsequently, that's what they were doing. And there is actually meant to be a chain in society, that the Brahmanas are connected to God, the Brahmanas subordinate themselves to God, the Kshatriyas subordinate themselves to the Brahmanas, and the rest of the society submit themselves to Kshatriyas. And in that way, the whole society goes towards God. So when the Brahmanas became more self-centered and less connected with God, then what happened next year? Kshatriyas became self-centered. And they became self-centered in a very, very luxurious and often irresponsible sort of way. They had power, and they had a lot of overconfidence. And these invaders, what can they do for us? And that's how time and time again, invaders came and defeated India. So there's a lot of historical factors involved, but primarily the fall of spiritual culture in India happened when the Kshatriyas, when Brahmanas and Kshatriyas became corrupted. So the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas together are meant to guide society. And throughout the world history, wherever any dramatic change has happened in any part of the world, it is by this combination of intellectuals and political rulers. Buddhism was just a small religion till Ashoka adopted it. Christianity was a persecuted religion till Constantine made it the official religion of the Roman Empire. So basically, first of all, in both these cases, the rulers found something impressive in the intellectuals. And then they became influenced. So the primary thing that Srila Prabhupada said is that we should focus on the Krishna consciousness movement is meant to create Brahmanas. And when there are Brahmanas, gradually Kshatriyas will become attracted. And then there will be a broader effect in society. Now, going further, yes, relatively speaking, the Muslims ruled India for much more, 700, 800 years. The Britishers ruled India for around 100, for around 200 years. And the changes that happened were different. See, Islam, although it was a political ruler of most of India, Islam was never considered an intellectual competitor to the Vedic path. It was a political superior, but it was never considered an intellectual competitor. So, even when many Indians converted to Islam, it was either because of force or it is because of alienation. Because the higher caste Brahmins were exploiting the lower caste. And they converted over. They didn't get much relief because there was, even among the Muslims, there was a difference between those who were original Muslims and those who were converted Muslims. So the discrimination went on. But the point is that there was not much intellectual damage. There's cultural damage in terms of temples being destroyed and things like that. But when Britishers came to India, they had the power of science with them. So scientific revolution had started off in Europe since the time after Renaissance, and they had Western education, and with it they seemed to have phenomenal power through science and technology. So when they started teaching in India, it seemed that the Britishers seemed to be like not just intellectual competitors but intellectual superiors. And that's why it was many intellectuals became attracted to the Western culture. And of course, they did a lot of things also. They also adopted a Western education system, English education system in India. And because of that, there were a significant number of Indian intellectuals who were created who were quite Westernized in their thinking. And unfortunately, the Brahmins at that time thought, as English, it's a mlecha bhasha. We don't have to bother about it. So many of the Indian, if you see around roughly the time when Bhaktivinoda Thakur was there, from 1810 to around 1910, or some period that is called the period of Bengali Renaissance in Indian history. So Bengali Renaissance means there are many Hindus at that time. Most of the prominent leaders who are considered the prominent leaders of modern Hinduism, they appeared at that time, and most of them were in Bengal. So they tried, according to their capacity, their best, to try to understand their own tradition. So they came up with various different understandings. Most of them were speculative. But the problem was, at least they had the Western education, and they tried to understand their own tradition. And then they presented their own tradition according to their understanding. But those who were the traditional caste Brahmin, they said, it's English language, there's no need for it. So they did not. So there were traditional scholars and there were these modern scholars. Both of them were actually sympathetic to the Hindu Dharma. But there was no communication between them. Gaudiya Vaishnavism would have also suffered that fate. There were the traditional scholars. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a member of these educated intellectuals. They are called Bhadraloka. And he presented Gaudiya Vaishnavism in a way in which the mainstream intellectuals could understand and appreciate. So culturally speaking, more damage was done during the Muslim culture, Muslim invasions. Intellectually speaking, more damage happened, not all of it by conscious design of the Britishers, but it was a lot of other factors also happened during the British rule. In general, our acharyas have not been too hostile to the British rule. As the Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said that we at least have freedom of practicing our own religion. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, when he welcomed the Viceroy of India when the temple was made in Navadvip. So Prabhupada was told by Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur that independence is temporary. So the point here is that focus on spiritual growth. So the point was that as devotees, we don't focus too much on geopolitical realities, because they will come and go. Certainly we have to be aware so that we don't unnecessarily provoke things. Just like, you know, a doctor, the primary business of the doctor is to give the medicine. But at the same time, a responsible doctor needs to know the case history of the patient. So that if I am giving this medicine, it should not have some side effect. So sensitivity is not compromise. Compromise means the doctor stops giving the medicine only. But insensitivity means that the doctor doesn't inquire about the case history only. A doctor says, oh, actually different people come from different backgrounds and we have to be sensitive. But our primary focus should be on administering our medicine. So we learn about the contemporary culture so that we don't unnecessarily alienate people over there. We don't unnecessarily touch off some of their sore spots. But if we focus on the medicine of Krishna consciousness, on sharing Bhakti Yoga purely, that will attract people whatever situation it is in. And that is because this is itself a big issue. And in India, there is a increasing arising of nationalistic Hinduism. Not necessarily bad, but that is also not necessarily spiritual. It may be conducive to spirituality, but it is a highly politicalized version of Hinduism. And there is a lot of antipathy in that towards both Britishers as well as Muslims. But you know, we cannot blame current generation of people for whatever wrongs previous generations have done. So rather than doing too much of a post-mortem of the past, the focus is on understanding the present and presenting Krishna Bhakti according to the present situations. Does it address your question? Okay. So thank you very much. Okay, one question. Yeah.